Professor Michael Keith, Deputy Chief Medical Officer, welcome to SBS Dari. It must be pleasing to see the downward trend of coronavirus infection around the country, particularly in Victoria, which has gone through the worst of it. Can you please tell us how you assess the current COVID situation in the country?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to talk with you and with your listeners. Things are looking very positive at the moment. It's very encouraging to see how quickly the number of new cases each day is falling in Victoria, and of course, particularly in Melbourne, where the stage four restrictions have been in place for some weeks now. And of course, the success here is due to everybody in the population playing their part. So it's everybody adhering to the restrictions which have been put in place, and we know how difficult those restrictions are for many. That if they do develop any symptoms of fever or of cold or flu, that they arrange to go and get tested for COVID-19, and then they go straight home and they stay in isolation at home until they get their results back. And it's also really important when people have been diagnosed with COVID-19, that they're telling the truth about who they've been in contact with, what they've been doing, who they might have contracted COVID-19 from, and who they might have been at risk of passing COVID-19 onto. And it's only through having this really strong testing, tracing, and then isolation of people who have COVID that we're able to get on top of these very serious outbreaks, which we've been seeing over recent weeks, especially in Victoria.
So do you think that people are afraid to give the information to the authorities, or they are withholding the information because of they are afraid of being fined or something?
Look, I think that some people are afraid of getting tested, and some people are afraid of being contacted. But this is a public health emergency, and it's really important during a public health emergency like this pandemic that people are not afraid. That people, if they have symptoms, do go and get tested. And that's important not only for the health of the whole community, that's important for their own health and the health of their loved ones. Because if they are diagnosed as having COVID-19, then of course they do need to go into isolation and reduce the risk of passing COVID-19 onto their family members and their other close contacts. And so by going and getting tested, you could be actually saving the life of the elderly people in your family or in your community. So it is a really important thing that we do, that we go and get tested. And similarly, with the contact tracing, it's absolutely essential that people tell the truth and say, this is what I've been doing, even if that means admitting to having breached some of the regulations, if that is what has happened. And look, what we know, Vesmila, we know that people from very diverse multicultural communities across Australia are actually more likely to be following the advice of the government. We know that people are more likely to be socially distancing and to wearing masks and to avoiding public places. So I think that people need to do the right thing. They need to do the right thing by themselves, by their families, and by the whole community.
The clusters in the outer southeastern suburbs of Melbourne in KC and Dandenong LGAs still seem to be concerning. Can you please elaborate as to what caused these outbreaks and how it's going on now?
So, of course, as we know, many of the households in Casey and in Dandenong are households with large numbers of family members. And often people across a number of generations are living together with the grandparents, the parents, the children, and sometimes the children's children. So you can get large numbers of people who are living in the one household. And if one person contracts COVID-19 and brings it home, there's a high risk that they're going to infect everybody else in the household before they even develop any symptoms. And by the time they develop symptoms, everybody may have already been infected in the home. And then you get a large number of people who've been exposed to COVID-19. Also, we do know that in Dandenong and in Casey, there are a lot of families where English is not the first language, where English is not the language which is spoken at home. And that's why it's been so important for the Australian government and the Victorian government government's departments of health and also the Australian government's Department of Home Affairs to work actively with representatives of many of our multicultural communities, especially in Melbourne, to make sure that the messages are getting out to everybody, to make sure that the translations which are being done of the written material and the spoken material is accurate and is accessible to the members of those populations. I think the Australian government has been translating most of its information into over 60 different languages, working with accredited translators, but more importantly, working with community leaders from those representing the people who speak those different languages to make sure that the messages are appropriate and are hitting the right targets.
Yeah, there's been complaints about the messages and information that you said are getting translated for the multicultural communities, and there's been complaints that they are poorly translated or there's been some misinterpretations. What can you say about that, and what have you done to remedy this problem?
Yes, no, look, it's really important that we receive feedback from the communities which are the focus for these translated materials, if there are problems with those translated materials. And that's why working with community leaders is so important. But also the Australian government is using translators who are certified and accredited. All the translations are being double-checked by a second translator to make sure that if there are any errors from the first translation, they've been picked up the second time. We know that there was a problem with at least one document being uploaded. I think it was in Arabic and with different fonts being used, that changed some of the messaging. And so now we have a process in place that anything new that goes up onto the website is then reviewed by a third certified translator to make sure that there hasn't been any problem with the uploading of materials. We've been working very closely with the Federation of Ethnic Communities Councils of Australia, FECA, who've been providing really excellent feedback and advice on translated resources and appropriate communication channels. And also in Victoria, the Victorian Multicultural Commission has been very proactive, again, in reaching out to community leaders to make sure that the messages are getting out. And also if there are any gaps in the messages or any gaps in the languages being targeted, that we're picking up on those as well.
Okay, do you think it was appropriate for the Victorian Chief Medical Officer to name the Afghan community in connection to the recent outbreaks in southeastern Melbourne?
Look, I guess that's an issue for the Chief Health Officer in Victoria. I think the important thing is that, you know, this virus doesn't discriminate between people. Catching COVID-19 has nothing to do with where you were born. It has nothing to do with the language that you speak. It has nothing to do with your religious practices. This is a virus which passes from person to person through droplet spread, and it can affect anybody from any community. And I think it's really important that everybody from all the very diverse multicultural communities across Australia, that everybody is engaged in making sure that these messages are getting out and making sure that members of our own communities are being supported. We make sure that the older people in our communities who may not have access to English are getting access to the information, which often, of course, young people are very active in making sure that their parents and grandparents are getting access to important healthcare advice, and that we support each other. It's also really important to recognise that many of these restrictions are very challenging for many people, and we know that many of the people who are living under restrictions in Victoria, especially in Melbourne, are feeling very isolated from family members and from friends, that many people are experiencing mental health concerns related to the isolation. Many people who may already have been on low income suddenly find that they lose their jobs because so many businesses have had to close down because of the restrictions, and that puts huge pressure on families as well. So it is really important that we are all supporting each other. We are all in this together. I don't think it helps targeting one group or another, because these are things that could happen in any community.
Thank you very much, Professor, for taking your time to speak to us. Thank you.
No, thanks, Besmelo. If there's any further questions, feel free just to reach out and we'll do our best.
Yes.
Thank you for all that you're doing, and thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and your readers.
Thank you. Thanks.